everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Here they are, the semifinalists for the NaSTIP Player of the Year, men's college basketball. Related to this, Damon Stoudemire. He's still hot about not winning Sports Illustrated's Player of the Year 25 years ago. He was venting about it today. What's the statute of limitations? Bob, Brian, I ask you, the statute of limitations is saying I was robbed of that award.
It never ends, like when you robbed me last time I was on this show.
All right, settle down.
Ah, wow.
Lakers, Bucks tonight. What is at stake? For whom is this game bigger? Could be your finals preview. LeBron, meanwhile, says, if you had the idea this was about the MVP, he doesn't play for MVPs, so stick that in your cake hole and mute it. Clinton Yates, start with you. Is this a bigger game for the Bucks or Lakers tonight?
I think it's a much bigger game for the Bucks for a couple of different reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one of which is that everybody looks at the East Coast and says they're cruising, but most recently, that isn't the case. They got popped by the Heat, who have beat them twice this year, by the way, and they got their 100-point streak broken by the Hornets, who are not exactly setting the world on fire. And overall, this team is questioning whether or not the run for 70 is going to be important to them or the fans or what have you. But that aside, if they believe that they can be a team that wins the NBA Finals, this is a game you have to have. Think about that number one overall seed if they should get that far. So for me, this is a much bigger thing for them because they don't have the experience winning that the team does on the other side, which is the Lakers.
A game you have to have in March. To that you say what, Woody Page?
Well, first I want to say to Clinton, yes, they're really struggling. They won 7 out of their last 8. Oh, boy, they've just gone south, haven't they? No, this game means more to the Lakers. If you think about it, the Bucks, when they play against teams with the top 5 records in the NBA, they're 6-1. They beat everybody in the league. When the Lakers play top 5 teams, they're 1-5. They need to show something, their prowess, that they can beat a really good team. And they got the Clippers coming up twice in the next 2 games, so why in the world wouldn't they want to get some kind of strong 3-game winning streak out of this and show Giannis that, you know, we lost to you in Milwaukee, but pretty much was dominated by the Bucks. I think it's all about the Lakers showing the Bucks that, yeah, when we meet again, there's a 36% chance of that, we're ready to take you on.
All right. So Clinton says Milwaukee, bigger game four. Woody says the Lakers. Sarah, were you swayed either way by your competitors here?
No. They both had great facts and stats and information that was useful, but I was actually swayed by my own thinking about it. I originally thought the Bucks, because we keep saying that we want to have a better idea of how they're going to fare in the postseason. As great as they are in the regular season, do they need this confident boost? But exactly what Woody just says, not only are they statistically better against the best teams in the league, but their point differential is so high that any team in the history of the league who's beating teams by plus 12 points or more has won the title every time. So the Bucks know their
right.
I think it's actually for the fans that need to see something from the Bucks. The Bucks have clearly proven themselves all season long. For the Lakers, they're 0-2 against the Bucks and the Clippers, the teams most people think are they're going to have the biggest problem with. So they're the ones that need to get a W.
And that's their weekend. Bucks Friday, Clippers Sunday. Bob Ryan, join us. Bigger game for the Lakers or for the Bucks?
I'm marginally, you know, either way, you could argue. I'll give you the devil's advocate argument either way. But I will come down for the purposes of this discussion saying that the Bucks are the strangest winning, great, great, great winning team I have ever seen in the league history, and that they have to prove that they're worthy of winning 70 games in the eyes of many of the critics, myself included. Okay. I still don't get how they're doing it. I want to see it again. I think it's a big game for them tonight. They're going to just show me. Bob Ryan, I want to see it. I just want to see them come up big tonight. I want to see Giannis come up big tonight, and that's what I want to see. Because I still can't believe that they're on their way to 70 with who they are. They got to show me.
Okay, that's more about you than about them, but I understand what you're saying there. You brought up Giannis needs to have a big game tonight. I mean, you guys say this about him every, he's the reigning MVP. I mean, he has big games. LeBron, Giannis, MVP discussion. LeBron says it doesn't matter to him, Bob Ryan. Do you believe that?
I have to take it. I'll take him at his word. I mean, who am I to contradict him? If he says that, I'll take him at his word. I definitely think that if I were voting, it would have no bearing tonight, unless Giannis goes out a stink bomb. If he just completely implodes tonight, okay. But otherwise, I don't think it would change my vote.
Sarah Spain, does tonight do anything for your MVP discussion?
No, the race is over. Giannis's averages are across about 30 minutes because they're so dominant. He'd be 35, 16, and 7 if it was across 36 minutes per game. His player efficiency rating would be the greatest in the history of the game if the season ended right now, and his team is on pace to win 70-plus. So the race is
you
over.
You can't sway yourself in any way as you famously do.
No, I will not sway myself, nor will anyone.
Woody Page, how about you?
Yeah, I'm sorry, LeBron, but I don't really believe what you said about MVP. If he wins one more, he'll be tied with Michael Jordan at 5. You don't think he wants to accomplish that in his career? If he wins two more MVPs, and he's only got 3 or 4 more chances, no matter how well he plays, he would tie Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most in the history of the NBA. That would be 6. You think he doesn't want to achieve that in his career? And in regard to tonight's game, of course it means something. There's still people on the fence, Sarah. And, I mean, look at the Bill Plaskys of the world that have already given it to LeBron. If LeBron goes out and scores more than 30 points, they'll be 20-0 when he scores 20. If he doesn't score 30 and they lose this game, Giannis is going to get everybody, including Plaskys.
Woody Page, were you reading Gray Sports Almanac before the show started today? Incredible amount of information from Woodrow. And how about you, Clint Yates?
Yeah, I think the award that LeBron wants to win is Finals MVP, and he's a little bit more concerned about that than he is about this one. He wants to be the MVP of the Lakers because that'll get them to the place they need to be in order for him to win the aforementioned trophy that I just brought up. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter to him what happens with this particular game or this particular regular season. He's got one goal. It's to bring glory back to the Lakers. That involves the banners in the stands, not the trophies on his case.
Sarah shaking her head. No, she's not being swayed by you.
His one goal is to bring glory to the Lakers. I don't care how much he loves playing there. Have you met this guy before? The King. Yeah. This is about his legacy. It's about winning. He wants
those
them to come along for the ride. This is
though.
Not
those
about
are not,
him.
At this point, they're not mutually exclusive. He can both bring glory to himself. Why are we saying it like that? He can win the championship and also win the Finals MVP and accomplish all his goals. We're going to move on. Raptors 121, Warriors 113. That Toronto clinched a playoff spot. Then that Norman Powell had 37. Hey, you guys never mentioned Toronto when they win the title. You're not going to bring it up here. Take a mute for that. But Steph Curry, Steph in his return, 23-7-7 in 27 minutes. Steve Kerr said it feels like it's on again. Woody, is it on again? And with Curry back, how close are the Warriors to being the Warriors again?
Well, hell, Tony, it's not totally on again. He played one game, and they still got all those youngsters playing with him first time. I thought what was impressive as much as Curry last night was the fact that Wiggins looked like they'd actually played together in their lives before that. Wiggins had 21 points. He was talking about how Curry got him the ball. I think that's going forward is going to be a real compliment to what they've got coming back next year. And if they get one of the first 2-3 draft choices and get one of those guys, I think they could be back in the chase next year. They're certainly going to be better than winning 14 games. But he looked good last night, particularly in warm-ups when he made those 5 from the logo. Yeah. He should have done that.
Okay, but you said back in the chase. Steve Kerr did not say back in the chase. He said it's on again. Sarah Spain, how do you hear that? What did you see from Curry last night?
Well, the Warriors aren't the Warriors without Steph Curry, at least this iteration. So while he's gone, everything's on hold. This was already a gap year anyway, but without Steph Curry, you're not even looking to build around the players that you do have when you get back Draymond with the knee, when you get back Klay Thompson. I think Steve Kerr is also alluding to something else. He talked about after this game how everyone needs to adjust to when Curry's back in because there's a lot less set plays. They just go out there and Curry runs the offense through him. So it's on again, meaning we're playing a totally different style of basketball with him out. Now we get back to what we've been used to and everyone needs to adjust and we're looking toward next year and what it's going to look like.
Bob Ryan?
It's all about next year in the big picture here. When he says we're on again, I would assume he's talking about that. Certainly he's not talking about them becoming a major team or a difficult team to beat in the remaining 19 games wherever I left for the season. What we saw last night was heartening to see a great player back, and a specifically great player. The greatest shooter who has ever drawn a breath in the history of planet Earth is back, ladies and gentlemen, and reminding you, granted he was 6 for 16, 3 for 12 on threes. He hit one of those ridiculous Curry shots. Our leg up here, falling backwards, 35 feet, made it look easy. That only one person does that with any kind of semi-regularity, and it's all about next year. And Woody's right about Wiggins, and they're going to be fine next year, but that's next year, next year, next year. What this finally is a reward to all those fans who have packed this new building without him, without Thompson, all year.
Warriors.
They finally get a treat. They deserve
it. Kalish, she'll call them those long-suffering fans from San Francisco, because yes, this is the first time the gym's in San Francisco, but I think they've been all right. Clint Yates. Steph Curry and
the thing to me that was most impressive wasn't even his shooting or his passing. It was, in fact, his dribbling of the basketball and his handle was back and how willing he was to go to the rack after that injury. That, to me, showed me more about his return to the game than it did just what he made in warm-ups. But as for next year, I think we've got to be fair to who the Warriors are. Look, they're coming back from a team that had Klay injured. We don't necessarily know where Draymond is going to be. They're going to have to mix in a lottery pick. And by the by, they're still last in the league. Let's not just assume they're going to jump to the top of the Western Conference just because. That's too difficult to
Being you want in,
be
go
sensible
ahead.
About even if Steve Kerr is the guy who's leading them.
I just want to say, yes, they're going to get back a team that was part of one of the greatest dynasties. But also, Clinton just said they're going to have to deal with mixing a lottery pick in. When we get to add lottery picks to teams, we never treat it like it's a difficult thing. We talk about how great it
How's
is.
How's that worked out for the Bulls?
Dynasty.
Come
on.
The Bulls are picking at number 7, and they weren't any good.
Yates.
It's completely different.
You know what I saw last night? I saw a rematch of the NBA Finals. That was never, no rematch in the history of the NBA Finals ever. Because it wasn't anything like that. Oh, the Raptors, they clinched a playoff spot. I don't think many of you had them being as good as they are this year.
What's that game?
I say that and I do it again. And we take a break. Buy ourselves next.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Domino's. Try our new and improved tracker with GPS-enabled delivery alerts. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
There is a certain segment of NBA fans who have been waiting for the moment to say, aha, small ball doesn't work. Could Clippers 120, Rockets 105 be your aha moment? Houston was 7 of 42 from 3 and a shot clock violation while somehow attempting 3 shots in this game. Aha! What did last night's result do for your view of Houston and for your view of the Clippers, Clinton Yates?
It was a bad night for the Rockets, but it showed me a lot more for the Clippers. Again, the Rockets had 65 points to start the fourth quarter. They were getting locked up by one of the best defensive teams in the league. That would be the Clippers and my man Pat Beverly getting it done.
Woody Page?
Yes, I saw a Clippers team last night. You go back and forth about the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, but the Clippers looked connected last night. Kawhi Leonard was playing like he did in the All-Star game, and it looked like he put the same kind of defense on him the Rockets did. I just really think that now that they're kind of playing, they'll get past the load management, get into the playoffs, all playing together. And as Clinton mentioned, Beverly is just a complete bedbug on the court. I love watching
him. Zara Spade, how about you?
It's exactly what you'd expect from both. The Clippers, when healthy, are 10-0. They have elite perimeter defense. They'll outsize the Rockets on the offensive side. This was going to be a terrible matchup. But let's not forget that this is a Rockets team that went 7-44 from beyond the arc, even when they weren't yet technically doing microball back in that playoff game against the Warriors. Eric Gordon and James Harden are 11-57 for their last 3 games from 3. They are going to be feast or famine, even when it's not the Clippers on the other side.
Bob Ryan.
We all know the story with the men of Maury, which is they got to make threes or they're going to win games. And we all know that. That was a bad night. They'll just walk away from it. They'll probably shoot 65% threes the next game. Now, with the Clippers, it's all about a Sondheim. In other words, putting it together. That's a Broadway reference for the rest of the season. And they're doing it. And that's all it is. And Doc has waited and waited for the season to get to this point. And now he's here. He's got a bench. He picked up he's got the two great guys off the bench. He's got Morris. I mean, they're ready to roll, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming.
Wow. The Broadway reference, can you just slow it down for us and talk to me like I'm a third grader here, Bob? What was it?
You want it bit by bit? Steven, is that what you're saying?
Bit by bit, putting it together.
Sarah's right? Got it. Okay. All right.
She's got it.
5, 6, 7, 8. Fire sale 2. Chris Sale.
And I know the faith they put in me. That's evident in the press conference I had in spring training last year and with the contract. And I couldn't possibly feel worse about any situation I've ever felt in my entire life because of that. Plain and simple. I don't think I've ever let anybody down this hard, ever. And that sucks. And they put faith in me, and I messed up. I'm not living up to that. And that's what I battle with.
Woody, you buy or sell guilt for underperforming on a $145 million contract extension?
Oh, I'm buying that he sounded genuine in his sincerity about that he's letting people down, that it happened at the end of last year and again this year. But I think the fans out there really don't care. They say, hey, you're guaranteed $145 million. Not once did he mention that he was going to get it back or donate it to a charity. So I think people say,
okay, oh. I mean, that may not be necessary, but to hear him talking about it publicly like this, Sarah Spain, made you think what?
I think most fans do care. There are always going to be some who are myopic about things and think if you have money, you can't be unhappy. But I think there are plenty who like to hear a player say, I want to be there for you. I want to live up to people who believe in me. If I were Sale, I'd still probably feel a little bit worse about that Edward Scissorhand moment with the throwback jerseys. But I liked his sincerity here.
Bob Ryan?
I do not agree that he's being sincere. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it's very odd to say I'm letting people down as if he did something wrong. What he did was he threw 15 pitches into a batting practice and found that the elbow wasn't any better. Yeah. He did everything he was supposed to do and to get ready for that moment. He's not to blame. There's no blame here. I mean, there just isn't.
Glenn Yates.
Yeah, I mean, I believe him, but the reason why the money matters is as it ascertains to the team. You couldn't get Mookie Betts because you were spending too much money elsewhere on guys like Nate Eovaldi. And meanwhile, the guy you traded Sale for is signing an extension with the White Sox to the tune of $70 million. It's the baseball that people are going to be upset about there, not how he feels.
Fair point. I like the way you said that, Bob, though. There's no one to blame here, okay? Sometimes there is someone to blame. It's yourself. Your actions have hurt other people, but here's the way I see it. Guilt is quite often an unnecessary drain on your own self-emotion, you know? It's important to take a little stock of what your past action was, and that's conscious, absolutely important. But guilt and self-flagellation, I mean, that could only allow you to repeat the offenses, and that's not a good thing for you. We're going to move on. Buy or sell 3, Major League Baseball telling the Angels the team employee who was their visiting clubhouse attendant had, quote, furnished illegal substances to put on baseballs to help opposing pitchers. The Angels have fired Bubba Harkins, the 2005 visiting clubhouse manager of the year. Yeah, I bet he was. A 39-year veteran of the franchise. This, while Tripper Bauer last week said on Real Sports that 70% of pitchers are doctoring the ball with pine tar. Just when you thought you got your arms around sign stealing, Sarah, what type of problem is this for baseball?
Yeah, the clubhouse thing sounds a little more salacious than it is. I would imagine a lot of them are helping out opposing teams in certain ways because that's who's going to tip them and who's going to help them with their finances. But I think sign stealing is a much bigger deal. But I do think that baseball is smart to stop being so lax about the sticky substances because all of these little things contribute to people's view of the game not being legitimate. And so it's smart for them to say they're going to start paying a lot more.
Bob Ryan?
Has it come to this that we're going to have all pitchers and even catchers and maybe even infielders have full body searches before the game, stripped, naked, and then under the watchful eye of a league official, an umpire? I mean, this is ridiculous. If Trevor Bauer is correct, oh boy, because that's good.
Do you believe it? 70%? You've been covering the game for a while, Bob.
I didn't believe a word that Jose Canseco said, and guess what? He was right.
Okay, so you put some stock into what maybe an active player is saying. Clinton Yates, do you believe that Bauer stat, 70% of the league is using pine tar in the ball to pitch?
No, but I believe the big league pitchers that I talked to who said that if 70% of the guys are doing that, guess what? It doesn't matter much, because guess how many balls get rotated in and out of a game on a regular basis? It is hard to continually dock your baseballs and have that be of an impact when you pitch. As for the Angels overall, I understand why their clubhouse crackdown is what it is. It's been a very tough year for that team and that franchise.
And Woody Page.
This been a strong segment. I'll just end it on that. Take my winning.
That's it? Really? You're just gonna? Wow. Okay. I mean, this is like a shot clock violation. I gotta deduct some point. Whoa! What's happening here, Woody? What's happening?
Police point.
Oh wow.
Woody and Bob Ryan, like they've done for a decade and a half. Showdown, 2 minutes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ranger! Been so long since a 5-goal game in the NHL, 2 years. Mika Zibanejad. And number 5 was the overtime game winner, by the way, for the New York Rangers. Woody, what is 5 goals worth?
Oh, I think it's very impressive. Only 46 times has it occurred in the National Hockey League. But show me a guy that gets a double hack trick. Only 7 players have actually scored 6 goals. In lacrosse, 8 goals is a sock trip.
I think that 5 goals is the equivalent of a 60-point game, and you top it off with a game-winning basket, i.e. the buzzer-beating shot that he got the game-winning goal. I think that's the equivalent. I'm very
okay.
Impressed.
Woody, if you can name me one player that had either a 5-goal game or a 6-goal game or the NHL record 7-goal game, go ahead.
1976, Daryl Sippen.
Oh, man. I mean, it's off the top of his head. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Name Smith, Player of the Year in College Basketball. There's 10 on this list. It's a semifinal list. Oh, it's really a 2-person race, Garza and Toppin. And the winner will be Ionescu. But related to that, David Stoudemire, still hot about not winning Sports Illustrated's Player of the Year 25 years ago. He vented today after seeing Darren Ravel tweet about it. Bob, what's the statute of limitations on I was robbed?
There is none. It's eternal. I know the feeling. How many times I've walked away from this studio.
Okay, Bob.
I was robbed
right.
by the scorekeeper on this show. I mean, that alone tells me
Bob,
I'm sympathetic.
Get over
to
him. It. You get over it. He should get over it. The statute of limitations in this country, 7 years. I'm over that Becky Stroud wouldn't go to the senior prom with me. I'm still not carrying that load.
This is the 139th career meeting between Bob and Woody in Showdown. It was 69-69. Woody is the first to 70. There you go, Dro. Take the FaceTime.
We already know that Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but he has just admitted on the shop on HBO that until the middle of last year, he couldn't read defenses. So imagine how good he's going to be now that he can actually read defenses. And this year, I think he'll probably read Dr. Zhivago, too. That's the kind of player he and person he's become since he's joined the NFL. Congratulations.
Spring ahead, so I get to say, for the one time of the year, a 70-and-a-half-hour break. See you Monday.